Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. And today, my very special guests are Karen Kiefer. She is a firefighter paramedic with the Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District and was the Emergency Medical Services Director with them for a long time. We also have with us Mike Van Bibber, who is the battalion chief for the Volunteer Fire District up there, and Lori Foss, who is here to talk about her experiences as a citizen of Julian with the Volunteer Fire Department. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Miriam, and thank you for having us here. It's a pleasure to be able to talk to the good folks of the East County. I just wanted to also mention on this historic day 17 years ago, let's honor all firefighters of this great country and the sacrifices that they've made.
Absolutely. So I should mention we're taping this on 9/11, so very appropriate to be talking about fire and life safety issues here. Listeners, we're here today to talk about the battle to save Julian's all-volunteer fire department, the Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District. For those of you that are not familiar on the history of this, the county, as many of you know, after the big fires, the 2003 and 2007 fires, they got a lot of criticism for not having a county fire department. And so they started one, and they've now been going around and basically consolidating rural fire districts and getting rid of the volunteer fire departments around the county. Julian is the last remaining volunteer fire department, and
many of its residents do not want to be taken over.
Although the idea of a county fire department sounds good in principle, there have been some problems in the Julian Cuyamaca area resulting from some of this. And so we're here today to talk about these issues. Now, the status on this right now, as I understand this, is that earlier this month, LAFCO, the Local Agency Formation Commission, voted unanimously to dissolve the Julian Cuyamaca Fire Department, despite the fact that some 40 residents or so from Julian showed up, and all but two of them spoke against dissolving their district. They want to keep their volunteers. There's a process for stopping the LAFCO decision. Can you explain how that works?
Yes, ma'am. So there is a process. The people will have the opportunity to have their voices heard once the notifications have gone out to the public from LAFCO, which should be in the next day or so. We can collect, we meaning the citizens of Julian and Cuyamaca, can collect signatures of petition to voice their opinion to stop the, to force the LAFCO to put it to a vote of the citizens. That's all the community is really asking. It took a vote of the citizenry back in 1983 to form JCFPD, and it should take a vote of the community to dissolve it. So far, overwhelmingly, the community has spoken out. This started back, you mentioned when it began, it started in our community about 2013 when this county came knocking at our door. The community has spoken out many times since 2013 to retain our autonomy.
What percentage of the people voted initially to form this fire district?
Well, it took at least two-thirds of the community's voters, and my understanding, I was just a wee lad at the time, but it was overwhelming landslide. Over 80-some percent of the constituency here voted to approve the Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District formation.
80%. So my understanding is that in order for the voters up there or the residents to block the LAFCO decision to keep their fire department independent and put it to a vote of the people, they would need to get signatures before the October 16th public hearing on this, public protest hearing that's scheduled. They would need to get 25% of the registered voters. There's about 2,400 voters up there. Or they would need to get 25% of the property owners to sign a petition. So is it my understanding you're going to have two petitions circulating up there for people to sign?
You know, that's highly possible. There is a group of citizens that are really working diligently. I call it the army, if you will, going out and they're going to petition the community to gather those signatures. I'm not sure really what their strategy is, but most likely it will be twofold like you're discussing, because LAFCO has laid out a couple different places or methods of us obtaining that 25%.
Okay. And I understand there's also a way that you could just block the takeover completely without it having to go to a vote. Tell us about that option.
Well, that option is in the same process, but we need to collect 50% of the registered voters and or landowners. And the 50%, according to LAFCO themselves, the XO's Keene Simons stated that 50% would cease the process completely. LAFCO would drop it, and we would remain independent.
Okay. Now, that sounds like a high bar to reach, 25%, let alone 50. But on the other hand, you recently had signatures gathered to put another initiative on the ballot that is going on in November that would increase the fire fee to fund keeping the district independent, or to increase the funding for it to stay independent, because the county has said that if you don't join the county fire authority, we're cutting you off, we're going to take away all of your money, and basically you're on your own. What percentage of the people did you get to sign the petition to increase the fire fee?
So there's been several petitions. The one you're referring to, we received over 300 signatures from community members to get that onto the ballot. It went through the registrar process. The signatures were certified by the registrar, and it will be on the November ballot. It'll be listed as Proposition QQ. And just historically, the Julian Quemaca Fire Protection District voted in a benefit fee, voted. The community was had a voice in this. To assess themselves $50 per parcel back in 1984. Our department's been good stewards of that money ever since, and are still collecting just the $50. So the question is, can you continue to run your own household on a 1984 budget? It's time to move forward and step up. You're looking at pennies a day, really. It's $16 some change per month to bring the benefit fee to $200 annually for our residents.
Yeah. So the million-dollar question I'm sure a lot of listeners out there not familiar with this are asking is, why would you not want Cal Fire to take over the fire services? The arguments that the county has put forward is it's going to be professionally trained firefighters, everybody's going to be safer, we're going to have better staffing for you. Karen, can you talk a little about the reality of how that promise has lived up to the reality that you've seen, given that you've handled these dispatch records for both the volunteers and, you know, the CAL FIRE calls that have come in through the years?
Well, the concern I'm seeing is what they call the standard of cover. With that, they have what's called a move up in cover with their county engines. And the county engines are responsible for structure protection, EMS, traffic collisions. With the standard of cover and the move up in cover, the county will move engines around to higher populated areas because each community is ranked by population density, business, and the roads and different situations like that. And the lower ranking communities are going to be the last on the list, and they're going to be virtually sometimes left uncovered for EMS and traffic collisions.
You know, we've already seen some stations closed, dark days. I guess, I mean, that's happened before and after, but if you're out in Ranchita or somewhere and you have an emergency, good luck, because there's a lot of days where nobody's there. So you're saying they haven't lived up to that promise of getting these stations staffed and getting rid of dark days.
Absolutely. From my understanding, is Ranchita, Duluth, and San Pascual are all reserve stations, so they're not considered a county station. With county stations, to have the career firefighters with the county engine on them, but the reserve stations might have a patrol, a water tender, where they can maybe jump off the patrol, jump on the water tender to a wildland fire or something like that. They may or not be covered. Ranchita, the month of June of this year, was covered 6 days, and that's all. They're lucky
and
to get.
This is after the takeover by the county began, and they've started this rollout already. So you're saying 6 days covered, that means there were, what, 24 days in June where there was nobody at all at that station?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay. Chief Van Bibber, I understand that there have already been some issues on responses to some incidents, including a fire in January. Tell us about that.
Miriam, there's been several fires within our county here just this summer. What a lot of folks don't understand is that the CAL FIRE through San Diego County Fire Authority occupied our station June 1st. So their responsibility became Julian and Cuyamaca. With the wildfires created throughout the county and the resources being spread thin because of other fires places elsewhere, our engine from Julian, the county CAL FIRE engine, went on several occasions off the mountain to assist in that suppression effort. The downside is it left Julian and Cuyamaca uncovered for an extended period of time. That's where the Julian Cuyamaca Volunteer Fire Department is important. We are the home team. We don't leave. We stay and we cover when the others are gone. It's been that way for 35 years. Cal Fire and JCFPD have had a great working relationship for many years. They helped us. We helped them. I put together a list of incidents since 2000 or so where Cal Fire was either off the mountain or tied up on another incident, and it was JCFPD that made the difference.
Yeah, I've got a list of some of those incidences. And by the way, we have certainly asked Cal Fire to respond about these. And if we get a response, we'll be glad to share it. But I understand there was a case where a house burned to the ground in Shelter Valley because Cal Fire was out of the service area. In another case, a resident in Ranchita says he watched his neighbor's house burn to the ground while Cal Fire's crew drove back and forth looking for it. Getting lost on these backcountry roads is a real issue, and I think that's one area where the volunteers definitely have the advantage because they live there and they know the area. There was a Pine Hills case, we're told, where a mother, a woman, nearly died when Cal Fire couldn't find the home, not once but twice. And at Camp Marston in July of 2017, when there was a camp for children with cancer, Cal Fire reportedly canceled a response on a call for a child that needed to be flown out by air medical ambulance, and the driver communicated to the family that they could not find them. Now, I understand Chief Meacham has denied this one, but we've seen an email that says Cal Fire had difficulty finding the location, so they do kind of acknowledge that. Lori, I understand you've had a personal situation where I think it really shows the importance of having firefighters right there in the community all the time and not having them come for 20 or 30 minutes or maybe even farther away. Tell us your story.
There were two instances. One was the 2003 Cedar Fire, where they made sure everyone was out of Harrison Park. That was the backfire that Cal Fire lit that burned my home and 150 others.
A backfire lit by Cal Fire burned 150 homes?
Yes, it did.
Oh, my goodness. So you lost your house in that fire.
Mm-hmm.
And you nearly lost it a second time. What happened?
Well, in the 2007 witch fire, we had, it was my daughter and I alone in the house, and her school teacher noticed that she had not been at school. And because of the winds being so high and no electricity, no cell phone coverage whatsoever, all the towers were out, we were the last in the entire town to be evacuated. We had four horses with us, and I had my daughter, and they came and found us, and it was almost 6 o'clock at night in October, and it was dark. The embers were everywhere.
Terrifying.
It was. The tree had fallen on the horse trailer. We couldn't get the horses out in the horse trailer. So we ended up tying the horses to the minivan, and they helped us get the horses tied to the minivan. They told us if we went out, we could not come back for the horses. So we had to get them all at once. Loaded the dogs in the car, loaded the cats in the carrier, and they took us to the high school where there's cement everywhere.
Wow. And how close was the fire to your house at this point?
My roof was on fire.
Your roof was on fire. So the volunteer firefighters got you and all your animals out when the roof was on fire.
And you've told me that the volunteer firefighters also saved your house from burning down, prevented you from losing your home a second time to fire.
Yes. What do you think would have happened if they were coming from 30 minutes away?
We didn't know which way to go. The embers were flying everywhere. One of the, David Southcott, the captain of the Julian Volunteers, came with a water truck and shone a light on, behind us so we could see ahead of us because it was just almost impossible. Mm-hmm. And without the lights from the water tender behind us, we would not have made it.
Wow. Now, I know that Cal Fire has sometimes responded to fires in the past, even before the takeover. And Karen, you've provided some troubling data to us where Cal Fire was trying to show the county what their response times had been historically, and you found some things that were left off. You've sent me some data here from between April and June 2017, and by my count, there are at least six calls on here where it took Cal Fire between 25 and 30 minutes to arrive. There may have been some issues of, you know, which dispatch they were getting it from and so forth, but it certainly shows that there's been at least some calls where the response time was pretty long. As an emergency medical responder, a paramedic, how critical is it? What's considered an industry standard for how long is too long to get there on a medical emergency response call?
Well, if you're having a cardiac arrest or you're bleeding to death, minutes count. Within 5 minutes, 5 to 6 minutes, you can have brain death if you're not breathing. It's clinically dead.
So if I'm a tourist and I'm choking on my apple pie in Julian, and it takes 20 or 30 minutes for an engine to get there?
Yes, that would be very bad. I mean, it would have a very poor outcome. Yeah. And the concern that I have personally with knowing what's happening with the standards of cover and the move up and cover with the engines being moved, the county engines being moved to higher populated areas, such as in Witch Creek that covers Intermountain Station, is often called into the city of Ramona and sits in Station 80 and waits for calls there because the volume is higher and population's higher, leaving the entire corridor, 16-mile corridor of Highway 78 from outskirts of Ramona all the way to Santa Isabel, uncovered completely.
Yeah, we should mention that of those 6 calls I just referenced, all of them were in Julian, and 3 of them were on Highway 78 there. So this is a very heavily traveled tourist corridor, and have you seen any improvement at all in coverage for that area since CAL FIRE began its official takeover? Or has it been the same, better, or worse?
Yes, Miriam. First of all, I'd like to clarify, people do not choke on Julian pie. secondarily, you know, you'd hope that there'd be a difference in coverage. And right now, you still have 2 agencies working in conjunction with each other. So we have the ability to make those differences in cover for each other in the event that we're tied up on another call or in another district. With the JCFPD being removed completely, you won't have that coverage any longer. They're going to be reliant on their own system and nobody else. And, I mean, you do the math. You drive from Ramona to Julian. How long does that take? And you're driving a big truck in the event of a fire. It takes even longer. So we have agencies around us, but they're at a distance. Shelter Valley is going to be 25, 30 minute response time. Ramona is going to be 25, 30 minute response time. That's unacceptable. You know, I get it that the movement is to take care of the larger populated areas. But if you live out in the East County with us, that's not fair to us.
Yeah.
We deserve the same thing as anybody else.
Sure, everybody's paying taxes, whether you're in Ranchita or, you know.
Absolutely.
Somewhere else. Did you have something to add, Karen?
Yeah. About a couple months ago, we had a call in Highway 78. The location of the call was at Santa Isabel, right in front of Don's Market. It was a vehicle into a tree. The closest resource for the county was coming from the city of Ramona because Engine 85 in Witch Creek was gone, and it had capability for extrication. And that's the concern we have, is the distance, how that's pretty far away. Unfortunately, at the time, during that time, through the politics, Santa Isabel was not allowed to respond off of reservation. They're minutes away and they had, extrication equipment.
Wow.
It was denied that they couldn't respond through CAL FIRE dispatch.
Lori, I understand that you have some of this exchange on tape from dispatch. Could we hear it, please?
Not this particular one, but for another medical call when state mutual aid is guaranteed. And CAL FIRE's Monta Vista dispatch denied medical aid for the ambulance, even though they're supposed to respond it when it's requested specifically. And it was a medical emergency.
Let's hear it.
Okay, and that was Karen was driving, or you were in the ambulance at that time, Karen?
Yes.
And here it is.
Start responding San Isabel Fire, closest resource for state mutual aid, please.
And that was the end of that tape, and they did not respond them to that medical aid.
Very troubling. Now, listeners, for those of you who may have just tuned in, we're speaking with some folks from Julian about their effort to stop the county takeover of the Julian Fire District, Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District. And to do that, they need to get signatures on a petition by people in the district, either registered voters or property owners. And if they can get 25% of either, then it goes on the ballot. If they can get 50%, it would block it outright. So it begs the question of, if you're successful in this and you do block the takeover, what plans do you have going forward, Chief Van Bibber, you know, to make sure that you can provide, I guess, a better level of service than what we're hearing from what you're seeing with CAL FIRE?
Okay, Mary, there's several things in motion right now. One of them, you mentioned the ballot initiative that's coming up. On that same time, on the ballot will be two board seats for the Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District Board. Their seats are up, and three candidates from our community have gone through the registrar process and are candidates to take those two seats.
Now, can you tell us who these three candidates that are running are, and what is their position on keeping the district independent versus having it taken over by CAL FIRE? That seems to be the burning question, so to speak.
Yeah, there's three candidates, as I mentioned. Mike McGinney is one, Patricia Landis is another, and Eva Hatch. Those are the three candidates. All three of them have stated that they want to be supportive of Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District, and right now we just need a couple more swing votes to put it back, the ball in our court. Right now we have a deficit of board members that are bent on removing us from service, and the majority of the community, the constituency that's going to vote these folks into place, they're listening to those folks, and they want to keep us solvent.
I want to say that, as we mentioned at the beginning of the show, we certainly honor and respect all of our firefighters. And I know here at East County Magazine, we run the East County Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. We know that both the volunteer firefighters and CAL FIRE, you know, when they're at a fire, they're certainly risking their lives every day, whether they're fighting a wildland fire or a structure fire, and they're there for the, you know, those medical alerts too, which is so important. But that said, it seems to me it's a shame that we can't have the best of both worlds. Chief Van Bibber, you were talking before the show a little bit, likening this situation a bit to, you know, the military. Can you tell us that analogy?
Yes. I was speaking to one of our residents here a couple months back, older gentleman, probably in his early 70s, and he had a baseball cap on that said United States Army. So I thanked him for his service. I always make an effort to thank the veterans of our country, and he thanked me for my service, and he said, you know, I've been thinking about you guys. He meant to he was referring to the volunteer firefighters. As a resident of Julian, he's been hearing all the rhetoric that's going on, the propaganda, and the reasons pro and con to keep us around. And his statement to me was, he said, it dawned on me that you guys are like the National Guard. He was an Army regular. He did 20 years of service to our country. And he said, while I was in service, he said, I did not like the National Guard. They were the weekend warriors, if you were. We were the professional paid soldiers. We were the ones going overseas and doing the job. And these guys got to stay at home and only practice on weekends. He said, then it dawned on me on an overseas deployment, who's watching the home front? Who's protecting my home? And he said it was the National Guard. He said my respect for them grew immediately. You guys, Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District, is the National Guard of Julian. We're there to stand at the home front when the problems arise.
Yeah, so it begs the question of, why would the county not want to allow Julian to keep its volunteer fire department, if people feel strongly about that, and still have, as they've done in the past, have CAL FIRE available, you know, maybe as the first responder, or maybe as, you know, backup when the volunteers aren't available, they're all out on calls. But why would you not want that backup of having the volunteers at least still around, so that if CAL FIRE guys are out fighting a wildland fire somewhere, or they're just coming from far away, it's the middle of night and there's a medical emergency, letting the guys, you know, who are closest in be able to respond? It just doesn't seem, there seems to be a logic that's escaping me at the moment on that.
You know, there's all kinds of theories out there and opinions, and I have one, but I'm going to keep it to myself. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is that since the inception of San Diego County Fire Authority in 2008, this county has lost over 400 firefighters. Boots on the ground. Yes, ma'am. Boots on the ground, volunteer firefighters that were there protecting their home front. They're gone. They've been absorbed, dismissed, whatever. That's sad. And our current events that are going on, there's more wildfire. They're bigger. They're more intense than ever. Call it global warming. Call it what you want, but it's facts. You can see it on the evening news every night. We need as a county more firefighters, not less. If the JCFPD is taken down, this county is going to lose another additional 50 firefighters that are trained to go and help in a time of need.
I really want to thank all of you for taking the time to drive all the way down from Julian today to be on our show. And certainly if anyone from Cal Fire or County Fire Authority is listening and you want to come on the show too and tell us your side of this story, we would love to hear it. I'm going to give each of you a moment here to share any final thoughts that you might have with our listeners about this situation.
Well, just to clarify, Miriam, and thank you again for the opportunity to be here today. You know, all firefighters are valuable. It doesn't matter what patch we wear, what color shirt we wear. It's the willingness and the abilities to serve our fellow man. And so we need all of us, not just a limited few, not just one team. We need multiple teams playing at this. And that's with any jurisdiction, any place in this country. No one department can stand alone and do it all by themselves. I don't care how big you are. So I just appreciate all firefighters. I'm glad that we are here still serving our community, and I look forward to many more years of service to the communities of Julian and Cuyamaca.
Very good. What about you, Karen?
Thank you, Miriam, for having us on today. I started my career out in 1995 with a volunteer department. And when I came to California, and then a few years later, I became employed with Julian Cuyamaca Fire Protection District in 2003. And I've had the honor to work with volunteers. Our department has put out so many amazing young men and women. Like Chief Ambeder and I were talking earlier today, many of those people are chiefs in other departments.
So they've had professional training. These aren't
Yes. And I've had two partners. One right now is had a conditional offer to go to LA, a city fire department. And the other one was hired for LAC department. We put out very professional people. And it's been my honor to work with volunteers. I love them. And they're just wonderful.
Very good. And Lori, how about you?
With Cal Fire, their mission statement is wildland fire. With Julian, the mission statement is structure, medical, and vehicle accidents. And we need both in Julian. We need to vote to keep our volunteers, but we need both. We love the boots on the ground. As a civilian, I can say I'm not very happy with Cal Fire's administration and their practices. In my opinion, the deception that I've witnessed personally, but as far as the boots on the ground, this doesn't go down to them. We appreciate them. We love them, and we want to work with the Cal Fire boots on the ground. But we want our independent Julian volunteer fire station too. We don't want that to go away, and we're going to vote to keep it. I can tell you 83% right now are in favor of keeping the Julian volunteer fire department. That's 5-1.
Is there anything that people listening out there who may not live in Julian, but, you know, like many of us, like me, enjoy going up there, enjoying the apple pie, the fall season, the shops. You know, it is a very popular tourist destination, both for locals and people from out of the area. Is there anything that non-Julian residents can do if they are interested in helping your effort, or a place they can go to if they want to learn more about this?
So first of all, you can talk to your area representatives. For our area, it's Diane Jacobs. There's other representatives throughout the county. You can talk to them. It's not just Julian and Cuyamaca that's affected. It's going to be the entire unincorporated area of the county. Our Board of Supervisors, and then you can take it to the next level too. Write letters. Just be vocal. The voice of the people will be heard. And that's important to know that the democracy of our country is built on that very thing. So don't be shy. You can talk to these folks and let them know what you feel. As far as coming and visiting to our great place, it's still open. It's still running great. The pies are wonderful. Come visit. The snow's coming this season. So come and enjoy Julian. It's a great place to live, great place to recreate, and wonderful place to visit.
Very good. I want to thank all of you for joining us today on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.